Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Wasn't that message last week amazing that Pastor Street brought forth? Yeah.
Just came to church. Pastor ripped it!
Always, man.
Look what he did to me.
All right.
Man, we got some good preaching at our church.
Yeah, we do.
Ready for anything.
Yeah.
It's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too.
Man. Woo, man, ain't got no idea.
And he was there for like three.
Did y'all hear that? The power kicked in. Man, I know Pastor did a great job when the power kicks in. Woo! Man, I thought I could raise the dead before. Now somebody die for me. All right, save that for later.
So he wrote this to the church at Ephesus, Pastor told us. And because he was in prison, he probably, you know, think about what he saw. Nothing. For 3 years, he was in probably the deepest part of prison. In probably stocks. You can tell that by the way that he wrote to Timothy. He said, hey, do not sorrow for me in my bonds. He didn't say in my prison. He said in my bonds. They probably had him in stocks, y'all. Like, I mean, that's the worst thing your wife could ever do to you. Had him all locked in there. What did he look at? Nothing. He's in a dark place. Probably the only thing he's seen for years was a centurion, a legionnaire, stoic-faced, like the ninja of their day. Waka! They brought fear into the heart of anybody that they came against because of how world-renowned. I mean, think about it. The Romans ruled the world for nearly 1,000 years. America's like 260 years old. We ain't even started. They were ruling the world for like 1,000 years. These guys, they were feared throughout the whole world. Paul was staring at these guys for 3 years. You know, so when he wrote to the church at Ephesus, understand, he probably had seen this guy, and God gave him revelation after revelation, and it got deeper and deeper. Then he wrote it to the church at Ephesus, and he's so passionate about telling them about how important it is for them to stay completely equipped. Be supernaturally infused. Man, when they turned my voice up, I was supernaturally infused. That's how we should be. Man, it's so good. Hey, Stace. Man, it's look at all my friends after church. Why weren't you all in church? Anyway, supernaturally infused with strength through life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of the explosive power flowing in and through you. Man, doesn't that sound like a good Sunday service? Like, none of that wimpy stuff for us, y'all. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the arch enemy that we have. You have an enemy. Surprise! Man, Pastor told us about the enemy. You know, he did say that he had some strength.
But then by the time Pastor was done preaching, I mean, who's got this drink now? You know, I'm talking like, I could feel like I could take a tank out right now. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with heavy what? Right. Heavy, fat, ugly, in-your-face, irritating people. Huh. You know, see, this is the thing that got me. I'm sitting there in church. You know, I don't really want to tell you. I mean, I'll tell you later, but my wife did something today. She's so irritating sometimes. You know, we fought on the way to church because she was irritating. Had nothing at all to do with me. It was all her. So, fighting on the way to church, you know, and how the fights usually go is me fighting, she doesn't. And I got in church, and then Pastor talks about this, that my combat's not with human beings. I'm like, how could that be? How could it be that I have all of this armor and nobody to, like, kill? It's not with human beings. And, man, all these times I've been offended and upset. It's always been at people. You know, this wasn't the part of the sermon where I was being all pumped up, you know, and this was that part of the sermon that I was like, so you're telling me that this whole time I've had all these offenses and irritation and problems with all these people, preacher, and the whole time it wasn't even them? Well, so what's the point of all this then? I didn't have hand-to-hand combat with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. So you're saying there's spiritual forces that are acting in rebellion to what God wants to do? Man, I was shocked when Pastor told me. I mean, now I'm a theologian because it was a whole sermon and I got the whole thing in my heart now. But when he said that, it was brand new information to me that there was spiritual forces that were rebelling against God. You know, I mean, it's God, right? God can do anything. There's spiritual forces rebelling. You know, and some of the times when those forces are rebelling, they're in people and the people are rebelling against God, what God wants to do. And then we get all irritated at people when the rebellion is actually coming from the rebellious forces. And then we end up being the enemy of the people instead of being the enemy of the force that's in the people and actually loving the people and rescuing them from the force that's killed. I mean, when Pastor said that, you ever been in a service, you know, where you tried to sit down as low as you could in a chair so, like, preacher wouldn't see you? Yeah, he still see me. I'd fought against people this whole time. And it was rebellious forces. They are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. You know, here's one of the things, like the people that are coming against me, one of the reasons they're coming against me is because they're in bondage. You know, when people are hurting, they hurt people. When people are bound, they bind people. And I tell you, I was near to tears when Pastor was telling me about this. All these people that I've been hating, despising, wishing bad stuff would happen to them, God was actually wanting me to be the Savior for them, rescue them, bring them hope, bring them opportunity to get out of their bondage. But I felt so useless, so incapable, and then, bam! You hear me? That was, bam! Like, preacher preached it. You know, I was feeling worthless, like there was nothing I could do, and then, bam! He started telling me about some stuff that I should go and buy, I thought. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so you're protected as you confront the slanderer. Anybody ever been slandered? Man, preacher told me it wasn't even because of the people. It was because of the forces behind the people that was making them slander me. Talk about being set free and irritated at the same time. You ever had that happen? Man, it's like, I don't know if I want to run or shout or throw something or rejoice. Wear all the armor that God provides so you're protected as you confront the slander, for you are destined. Man, when he said that word, my little hairy ears went boop. Destined. I have a destiny. You know what? Here's the thing. I know you weren't at church this morning, but he said that everybody does. That means you. I'm so glad that I ran into you here at the Walmart.
Yeah, this is how people dress when they go to Walmart. And so, you know, when I ran into you at the Walmart, I just had to let you know, like, you know, it's Sunday after church. I mean, if anybody's spiritual, it's me. I mean, look at me. Can you not see how holy I am? Come on now. I'm making your holy friends jealous. I know, and we're at Walmart, and you just think I'm regular one of the crowd people because they usually walk around like this. But no, this is really spiritual stuff that I got on me right now. You thought it was natural. You're so carnal. But if you came to my church, you wouldn't be so carnal. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so you're protected as you confront the slanderer. For you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Man, I tell you what, just hearing that word makes my little heart go pitter-patter, because you know how long it's been since I've been victorious? I mean, it is just one thing after another. Anybody feel me? Like you just get through with something and you're like, what was that? And then you push through that one, you're like, oh, okay, where'd that come from? Why'd that person do that stupid thing? I mean, I'm not calling the person stupid. I would never do that because I'm a good Christian. But they do stupid things, you know? Don't mean they're stupid. I would never call anybody stupid. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Man, so there's, like the scriptures are saying, like this stuff is really useful. And then stand on your own, I think it's at the bottom. I almost had this quoted, you know, like, because it was such a good sermon, but I didn't quote it all. There was a few times during the service that I wasn't paying attention. You know, I mean, I'm really super, actually what, see, it wasn't that I wasn't paying attention. God was giving me a revelation with my eyes closed. You know what I'm saying? So, He taught us about all these pieces of armor. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to tell you, since I got you trapped here in Walmart, and, you know, there's somebody in one of those wheeled carts down there, and they're really in the way, and I think the battery died on that. And then on this end, I've got you trapped because I'm standing in front of you. So since we've got time here in the macaroni aisle, let me tell you what Pastor told me about the armor. So in the King James, because Pastor is really super spiritual, and all the spiritual people, he said, uses the King James, because some of these other versions, some of you are spiritual, aren't you? Yeah, he must have the King James. So in the King James version, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul starts out by saying, you should put on the whole armor of God. You know, Pastor said that there's a lot of people that basically walk around naked. Christians, grown up, mature Christians, been Christians for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, walking around stark buck naked with a helmet on. They're saved. You know, when he said that, I looked around. I've seen some naked people at church. Come on, y'all. I mean, I'm not being judgmental. I would never be that way. But there were some naked folks, because I've been around these folks for a long time. There was naked people in our church. I know. But I mean, Pastor's super spiritual, but not everybody that goes there is that way. I mean, I am. I mean, I see myself through my intentions. I don't see myself in the actuality. I know, you know, nobody else does that. But, I mean, I'm for real. If anybody has a good heart, it's me. So, in Ephesians 6, verse 10, it says that we should put on the whole armor of God. That's how the Apostle Paul starts this, that you can be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, in the King James, it's really cool because these words actually mean something. Sometimes in these other versions, they're just fluff. But in this version, the wiles means deception, trickery. It actually alludes back to like playing a game. Does anybody ever feel like sometimes the devil's playing a game with them? Like you're in this big game of chess and it's like always like, take that, rook. Okay, that's the enemy's strategy. If you ever feel like you're being deceived and kind of thrown about and like you're confused in direction and stuff like that,
You can easily identify that that's from the enemy because that's his tactics, is to use deception. You know, the devil never shows up with a pitchfork and horns on his head. He shows up as your mother-in-law. I mean, shows up as an evil person at work that I won't mention names of. That's how the devil shows up. And then we get sucked into his little games by getting in a fight with the person when we're supposed to be working against the part. I'll tell you what, Pastor was full of it today. So that we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In the next verse, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Man, I'll tell you what, that one struck me something fierce. Because I was just wrestling with flesh and blood on the way to church when me and Kay were arguing about her being wrong about everything. "But against principalities, powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." This means that there's like a hierarchy of the evil one and how he's trying to manipulate my life. And most of the time, I'm spending all my time getting beat up by these low-level devils because I don't have the whole armor. I was running around with a helmet on. But see, I heard the sermon. That's right. I told you about how spiritual I was, didn't I? Because I heard the sermon, I activated the truths right away. Uh-huh. You're looking at the finished product. That's right. Good to go. This is the real deal, y'all. You can come touch it later. "Against spiritual wickedness in high places." The next verse said, and I see I'm quoting all this because when we're standing in Walmart, I'm not actually holding my Bible, so I'm actually quoting all this to you. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." You know, he said that twice. Like, Paul is either dense or under the unction of the Spirit of God, he knew that we needed to hear that twice. You know, one of the things that's inferred there is you take. Guess who put this on? This guy. Guess who's got a spear and a sword and two thumbs? I put this on. It was a good sermon. I mean, I'll give the pastor a little bit of credit. We've got a good pastor at our church. But let's be real. I mean, there's only really spiritual people at church. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, don't say nothing. Really, don't say nothing. He said this twice, take on and put on the whole armor of God. And so, pastor told us that this is something that I got to do. I have to do this. You know, I went through all my Christian life thinking like, God, I could use a little armor. Like, why don't you just equip me? Hey, yo, God. And it always sounded like he wasn't paying attention. And then pastor told me about the finished work of the cross. That God actually equipped me for anything that needed to take place in my life. And then pastor come in and he says, not only are you equipped, but you're actually over-equipped. He's actually given you his armor. Now, I wasn't paying attention a whole lot right around this point because I was getting a text message. But then he said that where God actually over-equipped me and he actually gave me his armor. Now, this is his armor, which means that whatever armor God has to feat and defeat and to fight against the devil is the armor he gave me. You know, when pastor said that, I was like, stupid devil has been tricking me for a while. For real? Sucking me into things that I shouldn't have been a part of. I should have been taking the whole armor of God. These things are heavy, by the way. Hold on. You ought to try it. You're not as spiritual as you think. Take unto you the whole armor of God. For the trickery, the deceitfulness of the stupid devil. I had God's armor. You know, I could probably stand up against anything. You know, like if the devil walked in here right now, you know what I'd do? I'd stab him in his ugly face. Are you feeling sick or anything? I'm telling you what. Pumped up. We're here to pump you. All you young people, you need to Google that. Man, I'm telling you what. He gave me his armor that I could stand against anything. There is nothing that the devil could do. Look at me. I'm like a tank, y'all. Bam, bam. There is no
There is no chance that the stupid devil, if the stupid devil was here right now, there is no way that he would be able to withstand the force. And can I mention the beauty that I am? I mean, you know, I'm wearing like God's clothes and all that, so he's actually kind of the good looking one. But I'm wearing his stuff, y'all, so I look as good as him. Don't you know God is good looking? You know, this end of this verse here where it says, "The withstand against the evil day," you know when the evil day is? Any day that turns evil. You know, here's where people get thrown off. They think that spiritual warfare is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Hey, if you're a soldier and you're fighting 24 hours, 7 days a week, you're dead. You're dead. You're tired. You're hungry. You're beat up. You're dead. You know, you're not actually supposed to be at war, at battle, 24 hours a day. If you're at battle 24 hours a day, you're just asking the devil for stuff to come your way. There should be a vast, even a professional soldier, you know, a professional soldier, there is times when he's not actually at war. He's at home with his wife, raising his kids, doing stuff. And people start getting weird about spiritual warfare. You talk about spiritual warfare. Oh, man, I was wrestling against the devil. I was doing this, you know. Blah, blah. Man, dear Lord, sometimes I don't even think about the devil. Again, I'm way more spiritual than most people, but why are we always thinking about the devil and not thinking about God the way that we should be? I mean, Pastor brought that up, and I was like, man, geez, he is so right. If the stupid devil was here right now, do you think I could take it? Because I got the whole armor. And even if today turns evil, if today would happen to turn evil, you know what I'm going to do? Stand. I'm going to stand. You know what this word stand means? This word is like a picture. Remember the story of David and Goliath? Well, I mean, I'm really spiritual. You might not remember it, but I remember it. And in the story of David and Goliath, if you remember, there was the Philistine army up on this mountain. And then the Israeli army was up on this mountain. And then Goliath came down and he said, "Oh, I'm going to do this and stuff." And that's not a perfect quote. I'm helping you out. And then the Israelis, you know, David came along and said, "Who's this uncircumcised Philistine? I'll beat him up." I think he said something like that. I think it's in Samuel. And so David comes down and he beats up Goliath. You know, and I was thinking about this one day. You know, the Philistines are up on a mountain and all the Hebrews are up on a mountain. How did they know that David beat Goliath? I mean, maybe Goliath fell down and took a nap because he wasn't so concerned about David. Because David was a little scrawny dude, Goliath 10 foot tall. You know, they didn't necessarily see David have a sling. They just seen Goliath lie down. You know, maybe he was trying to sucker David in close so he could break his little neck. Isn't that what he said he was going to do? "I'm going to break your bones and feed them to the birds." So, you know, picture yourself like you're a Philistine and you're standing up on a mountain. And you see Goliath lay down. You're probably thinking, "Hey, Bob, watch this. This is a normal Goliath tactic. See, what he's going to do is he's going to make this little Hebrew kid think that something's going on. And then he's going to jump up and like, rah! Watch, Bob. Hey, Bob, watch. I don't know why he's waiting so long. He should probably get up right now. Why does it look like that kid standing on top of Goliath? Bob, why does it look like that kid's got his sword? Maybe Goliath's just going to do that whole, like, surprise attack thing. Why does it look like the kid is chopping at his neck? Hey, Bob, are you seeing this? Why does it look like he's got Goliath's head in his hands? Hey, Bob, can you outrun me?
You know that stance that he had, that David had, where he's holding Goliath's head and he's standing on his carcass? That's this word. Stand. You know, it's not like, you know, when I used to read this verse, I'd be like, oh, you know, we're getting sick and we're broke. And, you know, I already told you about Kay. That's an ongoing battle every day. And it's like, you know, I'm still standing, but I'm kind of just, I'm whining a lot. Anybody ever stand and whine? I know. Not me. I'm super spiritual, remember. But there's a lot of Christians that stand and whine. Like, that's not this word. That doesn't, you know, if you're actually whining about it, you don't believe you're victorious. You know, when Pastor said that, I was so glad I was really spiritual. Amen. Amen. I know you all think I'm really spiritual. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Look at this belt. Y'all like that? This is really protective. Amen. I know it looks like it's got plastic and pleather, but I'm telling you, it's the real deal. You just can't see good because you're far away off in Walmart. And this belt, I heard Pastor talk about that he'd heard Rick Renner talk about it, and somebody called into Rick Renner's show, and they asked him, he said, what's the most important part about spiritual armor? And Rick Renner, deep guy, usually big, long pauses, you know, really thoughtful answers, really thoughtful sentences. Rick Renner pops off, I mean, without a break. He said, the belt. And I was like, whoa, the belt, the most important part. Look, it's not even really, I mean, if you're going to look at me and check out all of my prowess and my beauty, you know, like the last thing you're going to be looking at is my belt, for real, unless you're my wife. Or Maddie, she was always telling me that my belt doesn't match my shoes. So the belt is the most important part. And I was thinking, like, why is that? And then Pastor taught us about how important the belt was. Did you know that on the belt, there was actually a hook that you could put your spear? So when you're marching a long way, the weight of your spear wouldn't wear you out. There was also actually a hook on the inside of your shield that you could hook it right to your belt so that your waist could carry the weight of your shield. Obviously, another thing that your belt has is the, you know, the, oops, that's the wrong way. We'll do it this way. Is the sword. You know, how important is that? Like, we talk about that all the time. The sword of the spirit. Ugh, I'm going to take out the devil and cut myself. Oftentimes. You know, that hangs from the belt. And it's just right there. It's just right there. I can, like, whip her out anytime I need to. Wacha. Some of those Romans were ninjas. And another thing that this belt had was these phalanges. And what they did was they protected the lower section, which is where the reproductive organs are. You know what? No truth. No reproduction. You will never have the look of God. You'll never be able to reproduce God in your life without the belt of truth. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 17, Pastor told us, that when he was praying, he said, sanctify your people through thy word. Thy word is truth. You know, this is talking about, you know what this belt represents? This belt represents the logos of God. This is the written word of God, the logic, the written word of God. And as long as I am in this, as long as I wear this every day, I have access to the offense of my sword. I can carry my faith because it's heavy sometimes, you know, it wore out sometimes trying to stand in faith for stuff, you know. You know, another thing is that my breastplate actually threads through here. Without this belt, my breastplate would be all floppy. My righteousness would be floppy. You know how many people's righteousness is floppy? For real. You know what I mean by righteousness? That's like your identity. How many people have floppy identity? You know, at church, they're all Christian. And then at Walmart, they don't look like this. They're not as spiritual as this guy.
This truth, that's what holds it all together. You know how many Christians, they did a survey, you know how many Christians read a Bible every day? 10%. 10% go out of the house every single day with their groin uncovered. Naked as a jaybird. That is scary. No sword. Nowhere to rest their shield, so they probably put that down. Nowhere to rest their spear, so they probably put that down. No truth. You know, truth is subjective. Just because it's your truth doesn't mean it has to be my truth. Right? Just because God says marriage is this way doesn't mean that's the way it has to be. Who's your God think he is anyway? Truth. Having your loins girt about with truth and having on the... You hear that? It's real metal. Breastplate of righteousness. You know, you can't put this on by yourself. You actually need help. Because it's heavy. It's hard to get laced up. It's hard to... You can't just put this on by yourself. You know, this is why Paul used this analogy about having the ability to defeat the devil is because he's seen us working together. Right here in the Walmart. We can buy macaroni together and we can heal the sick together. You know, I'm not going to really have my breastplate on right without you. Without you, I could literally go without an identity. Because we have to work together to get this right. You know, another thing about this breastplate, every single morning when the soldier woke up, because this was made out of iron and it was made out of leather. Two compounds that if they are not tenderly taken care of would easily fall apart. Another thing, it was made out of all these little pieces. Each of these things is a little piece. It's like revelation after revelation after revelation after revelation that builds this over, and then I got to take care of it every morning. I have to spend time every day in my identity, in my righteousness, in order for this to work. It's got leather. Leather gets brittle and breaks if you don't oil it. If you don't rub in and anoint your righteousness with the Holy Spirit, it could break. And then the metal itself. You know, this was actually, in a way, it was a little bit of an offensive weapon, because don't you know that when a centurion and his 100 men came over the hill and you were the opposing force and the light caught this, it was like, pow! You know, like, take that, stars of Hollywood. This was the real stars. Like, the sunlight would hit this and pow! It would make you blind. You know, back then, it wasn't easy to come up with metal for armor. You know, most of the opposing places, they had, like, leather. Like, when they hit the sun, I mean, all they looked like was weirdos in movies. But the other soldiers, we had righteousness. Our identity was solid. You know, when we marched, we shook the ground. They knew we were coming. This is how they knew we were coming. Righteousness was solid. And having on this breastplate, I had to put this on. I did. I needed help. Couldn't do it by myself. But I had to put it on. And then the pastor said in the next verse, in verse 15, that we're supposed to have on our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, they're a little floppy, aren't they? It has nothing to do with my hairy legs. These are important. You know how important peace is? Go walk around barefoot for a couple days. You'll find exactly how important peace is. You know what most people don't tender and take care of and maintain in their lives? Peace. They're always fighting with somebody. They do not have the preparation of peace. They're always in a battle. They're always in a war. You know, this is when the angel showed up in Luke chapter 2 and announced the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, he said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. I used to think what that meant was that there was supposed to be peace among men. And then I read it. Yeah, sometimes you read it for real. And
I found out it wasn't peace among men, because when Jesus came, he actually caused a lot of problems. Like, people killed him, and they were martyred his disciples, and like, it wasn't peace among men, because if it was peace among men, boy, howdy, that angel lied. It was actually peace for men. You know, God is at peace with us. We should be at peace with him. Man, all the time we're blaming God for the stuff that's going on. God, if you'd help. God, if you'd send this. God, if you'd do this. God, why don't you listen? God, 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 God. And it's like we're having a war with the heavens. I've actually been in prayer meetings where people said, we need to go after the gates of heaven. We need to charge the gates of heaven. In prayer meetings. And I'm like, I didn't know God was the enemy. People pray like that. God, if you'd only do this. You know, that's obviously someone that's not shod with peace. You know how important these were? They were called greaves, and they used to be made out of metal, but something happened, and I got these cheap ones. But anyway, they used to be made out of metal, and they would come down, and they would cover the top of your feet. You know, you could think about a soldier that takes a quick one to the shin. You're worthless. Think about how worthless you are without having your peace on. You're just ready to pop off. Is anybody like at 211 degrees just ready to boil? You just need one more person to poke you in and it's 212 and you're boiling. That ain't somebody prepared for peace. Another thing that these Roman soldiers had on these shoes, these are almost authentic, they had 1 to 3 inch spikes. They were basically like football cleats made out of spikes. Think about how good their footing was. You know, all the other armies are running around, you know, like in sandals. These guys are like in football cleats. You know, they used to actually get all together and they would form like a little mini tank. They'd put all their shields together and they'd actually put their shields over top of them. And they'd have like this mini tank. Now think about a mini tank with a bunch of feet with 3-inch spikes coming out of it. You would not want to get in front of that. You know, when the devil sees you coming and you are shod with peace, and you're linked together with your brothers and your sisters, and you're protected. You know what the devil goes? Ah! I mean, for real. If you seen a tank coming down the street, you wouldn't say, man, I'll take it out. Come on. Now, you'd say, I think I'll stand on the sidewalk or on another sidewalk. You know, that's what the devil would do if we would actually be shod with the preparation of peace and be walking around with our friends and with our compadres. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16, please. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Why the shield of faith? Why above all? You know what the Greek word was here for shield? Theron. I learned that from Pastor. He's super smart with the Greek. And theron is the word in the Bible for door. So it says, actually take the door of faith. The reason it says door is because there was two kinds of shields that those Roman soldiers carried. They carried these little round decorative ones that you probably have seen before, like in movies and stuff. They actually didn't fight with those things. Those were just for like parades and marches and stuff like that. Who would actually fight with a little, you know, they were made out of iron. A really good arrow could just break the thing. They were just made for decoration. They were just there to be decorative. And they would actually hang them on their back in case they ever got into hand-to-hand and they needed to block maybe a strike of a sword. But for the most part, this is what those Roman soldiers carried. They carried a door. You know, here's the thing. They had to build this. Each Roman soldier had to build this. They had to put layer after layer of curved, thin wood. Wet it. Stick it. Wet it. Stick it. For weeks and weeks and months and months. And it was layered. How strong do you think that wood was? And then they put about 6 layers of leather and hides on top of the wood. 6. And they would take the best leather. Where they got the leather? That's right, they were hunters. They'd kill their own prey. They'd go out. It was part of their training. You need to kill enough animals to cover your shield. You know, here's the other thing that was interesting about this shield. If this shield was too big or too small and you showed up on constriction day, they killed you. They killed you. They killed you. Did y'all get that? They killed you. Because you had the wrong size shield. You know what that means? I can't use your shield.
I can't even have you make me a shield. I have to make my own shield. I have to be ready to use this shield so that whenever any of the wiles of the stupid devil comes, you know how those wiles come? Fiery darts. You know, there was three different kinds of arrows that they used back in those, in these days, in Paul's day. There was a long, slender arrow that the archers used, which obviously all of us are aware of. And then there was another arrow that they would take and they would dip it in tar and they would dip it in fire and then they would launch it a long distance. And that's usually how they did the offense, where they would take another city by lighting the inside of it. But there was a third arrow, and this is the one that Paul was talking about here. There was a third arrow that was a long, slender, and a little bit thicker, and it was hollowed out, and they would put combustible chemicals in it. And then they would dip it in fire, and they would launch it. So that when the combustible chemicals landed with the force of the arrow, it actually stuck in and it dug in, and then after a while it exploded. Here's the thing, it looked like all the other arrows. It looked just like if you were standing there and an arrow landed next to you, you'd be like, oh, whatever, arrow. And then bam! Y'all get that? It was bam! Anybody ever have that happen where something comes along and you're just like, oh, whatever, it's just a thing, and then it's like, bam! Whoa, I didn't see that coming. That's the kind of, you know what the soldiers did every day with their, what's up, man? Yeah, what do you think? Yeah, what you got, what you got, what you got, what you got? That's right. Yeah, I don't care what, boy, I'll take you. I'll stick you. Yeah? You see that? Look at that. I mean, not even a chance. Nothing. You see how he ran? Remember in Peter where it says, resist the devil and he'll flee, run from in terror? You know all these fiery darts? You know how I quenched them? Every time I went into battle, I took my big wooden and leather shield and I put it in a horse trough. And I wet it. So when I went into battle, these fiery arrows, nothing. Nothing. They couldn't get through me. They couldn't get to me. They couldn't freak me out. They couldn't scare me. They couldn't do anything because I've got a shield and it's wet. I should make a song about that. You know, most of the time we don't take care of our shield. We do not spend as much time building this as a carnal soldier built his shield. And then we wonder why we cannot stand against the fiery darts of the devil. Our leather is dry, cracked, brittle. We haven't stood for faith for nothing. We haven't wet it in years. How do you wet it? By the washing of the water of the word. Keep that shield wet. Why a horse trough? Wasn't Jesus born in a... Where was he born? Oh, a manger. What's a manger? That's a feeding trough. Quench all. All. How many? What does all mean in the Greek, you bunch of theologians at Walmart? Next verse. And take the helmet of... Look, I haven't tried it all out yet. Still getting used to it. Take the helmet of salvation. You know, you got to put this on. You know, you might wake up like an old bear. Anybody? Nobody's going to raise their hand? Yeah. But, I mean, all the people at Walmart lie. And they take the helmet of the salvation. You have to put this on. You got to take it, put it on. It's heavy. But look how pretty it is. You see my, am I touching it? Yeah, there it is. See how pretty that is? You know what that meant? You know why they did that? So when the opposing force came, they said, that's a Roman soldier. That's not a Carthaginian. That's not, you know, a Persian. That's a Roman soldier. We either need to determine whether we're going to die or we're going to get gone. You know, for 1,000 years, the Romans never lost. They lost some battles and some skirmishes and stuff, but they never lost.
You know, the only reason that the Romans do not rule the world right now today is because they imploded. It's because they imploded. They had such a great kingdom. They had amassed such power. They had such military might. They had taken so many peoples. They had such a good strategy about ruling and conquering nations that to this day, the Roman Empire would probably rule the whole earth if they wouldn't have imploded. Sounds like the kingdom of God sometimes with the Christians, you know, like, well, I don't like your denomination. Well, I don't like your denomination. Well, take that, fathead. You know, one of the main things that caused the Roman Empire to fall apart? Family. Family. Divorces. Homosexuality. At one point, they said about 80% of the senators were homosexual. They used to have parties at the bathhouses, at the Roman bathhouses, where they would bring children to the bathhouses and they would do unthinkable things to the children. The senators, the leaders of the nation, their wickedness was so deep. It was like Sodom and Gomorrah. The family network fell apart. It wasn't cool to be families, have kids, love each other, raise children. It started falling apart. It started becoming all about I and me and sexual gratification and, you know, let's see how wild we can get, see how many crazy. And we're rich because so now we can party and we can do all this stuff. That's what killed the Roman Empire. I know it doesn't sound anything like today. It doesn't sound anything like today's world. It doesn't sound anything like today. Obviously, America is going to go 2,000 years because we're so holy and pious. When they seen this coming, they knew it was time to get gone or get dead. That's why their helmets were so ornate. They were beautiful. They built them. It was one of the other parts of their armor that they used other people to help. They would hire artists and artisans, and they would build, and they would put horses on there, and they would put fruit on there, and they'd put all these things on there to let people know about the battles that they'd been in, the things that they had conquest, the things that were given to them, because, you know, your helmet of salvation should be the most beautiful part of who you are. When people see you come, they should say, wow! Look at the salvation on that guy. For real? Should be just standing right up. You should be so proud of it. I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. I'm not ashamed. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the... Whoa, almost dropped that over there. The sword of the Spirit. This is Rhema. This is Logos. Logos is the written word. Rhema is the spoken word from your heart. Two-edged. Two-edged. It's sharp going up. It's sharp coming down. They actually would file the end of this into a little hook so that when they thrust, they would twist and pull and the guts of their enemy would spill out in front of them. Hiya. This wasn't no measly weapon. You know, they went through 6 or 7 generations of swords in the Roman military. And this is what they ended up with. Why? Why not a great big, huge, long broadsword? Well, they had those. Those were called gladiuses. And they found out that one time when they went to war against the Carthaginians, because they had these kind of swords, that these great big, huge, long swords that were heavy and one... You know, they were just like battle axes, but they found out that the Carthaginians were winning the war because they would come in and they'd take this big, huge swipe. And then the Carthaginians would just come in and stick them. Turn. Pull. Guts. So they changed their tactics. One of the reasons the Romans were so good at ruling the world was because they would see what worked and they would do it. I know, as Christians, you know, somebody tries to tell you to do something. I don't care if it works. It's not how I feel about it. Romans ruled the world because they would watch what worked and they would incorporate it into their lives. They would go to people that were better than them, smarter than them, and they'd find out,
and they would incorporate in their ways. And they weren't beholden to any single kind of weapon. If the weapon was going to work, they would rule the world with it. Anybody want to rule the world? The sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. This was important. In the same way that the gospel of peace, you could kick somebody like, pah! You could take this and, pah! You know, most people think that there was only six pieces of armor, but we found out that there's seven. In the next verse, it says that we're supposed to, after we take the sword of the Spirit, that we're supposed to pray always with all prayer. What do you think prayer is? You know, prayer is the only weapon you got that you can send a long way. And when you got really good with your spear, you could take an enemy out 100 yards away. Some of these guys were incredible with their spears. And here's the other thing, too. You know, they would carry multiple kinds of spears. They'd have a little pouch on their back that was hooked to their belt. And they'd have short spears and long spears and thin spears. And they'd have weighted spears that would actually be armor-piercing. They actually had armor-piercing spears. You know, there are some prayers that you got that are armor-piercing. There's some prayers that you use close up. There's some prayers that you can launch a long way. There's some prayers that you can actually throw multiple times. You know, there's lots of different kinds of prayer, and most Christians are only aware of the prayer of, God, I need money. That's not even in there. They didn't even have that spear. You know, which soldier went to war on his own account? Right? He's out there battling. Well, Captain, I'm hungry. Well, go buy something. Well, I'm fighting for you. Well, too bad. Take a break. Go get some food. You got to go buy it yourself. You know, what do you think we're going to do? Provide you food and water and weapons? And what kind of army you think this is? You know, that was the army. Why are you worried about all the things that you need to provide for your life when the whole time God wants to provide you with all the weapon and everything that you need? You know, so this is a great offensive weapon, and I'm going to get really better. I'm going to start praying a whole lot more now that I know, you know, prayer is not some little fluffy, duffy thing. I'm going to start praying all the time. In fact, I was thinking about some friends the other day. I'm going to start praying for them. You want to see? So, if you understood how awesome service was today, you'd know why I'm standing in Walmart like this. It's not because I usually look like this. Some people wish I did, right, baby? But this is not how I normally look. I'm going to start putting on the whole armor of God. I'm going to start putting it on every time. And I'm going to start looking for people that I can help and that I can minister to, and I can, hey, Cindy's here. What's up, sis? Hey, did you notice, like?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. I know you're not like super church person, like awesome Christian, but ooh, let me show you this. Like, I made it.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor was really preaching. It's kind of heavy.
What, today you mean?
Hold on. Okay. What do you think? Pretty awesome.
It's something.
No, like, I made it.
Yeah. I made this scarf.
Well, I mean, it's about the same, kind of. But look, you know, like when the devil comes, I can be like, pa-pow, pa-pow.
It's a whole outfit.
Well, yeah, I went to church. Do you not look?
Yeah.
Not everybody is going to put the word into action like this guy.
Yeah.
Some people just go to church and, you know.
Oh, I know. I stayed in my pajamas today.
Well,
so, but I was glad to run into you here at Walmart.
I know.
Yeah.
So glad you're here. You
want
to touch it? Oh yeah.
Oh, that thing's heavy. Man.
I know, for real.
What are you doing with all this stuff in
I'm
Walmart?
Shopping for deodorant.
That's good.
It's kind of hot in here.
I bet it is. How are you going to carry all your stuff with that huge, shield?
I'm gonna get a cart. They got those battery operated ones. Maybe I qualify. No, that would be handicapped.
I saw one stalled out down the other side.
Yeah, they're always breaking down those things. Those poor fat people.
Well, that just seems like an awful huge load to carry. What's it for?
This is to stop all the fiery darts, yo.
I don't see any fiery darts, Steve.
Well, there was some. I mean, these look like Nerf, but they were really fiery darts.
Yeah, those aren't going to hurt anybody over there.
Well, I mean, they could have, like if they hit me like in the eye, but I was covered.
Hmm.
You know.
Well, I don't know. Dude, I heard some people a few aisles over laughing about some crazy kook up in the macaroni aisle wearing all this stuff. I didn't know it was you.
Well,
I guess I could have assumed, honestly.
What did they say how cool my stuff was? Is that what they were laughing?
Well,
like, man, that guy's awesome.
Something about the stuff, but I don't think cool was one of them.
So, people are talking about me?
Yeah. Yeah.
At
like
Walmart?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of hurtful.
Like, sort of that you're maybe a little bit off, you know?
No. Did they hear what I was talking about? How Pastor talked about the shield of faith?
I don't think so.
Well,
is that why you're doing this?
Yeah, this is for Christian stuff.
I think that this is maybe driving some people in the other direction.
No.
Dude, you're going to scare people walking around like this. Seriously, let me speak some truth to you. You're going to scare people.
Well,
let's just put this.
I don't want to scare
Let's
people.
Just put this one away. Let's just put. I don't even. How do you? Did you bring this in your truck? In the back, probably.
I'm just
going to put it right here.
It just
right?
came from church. You heard that part, right?
Yeah.
It's important.
It's okay. It's okay. You can still, you know, fight off
back.
The fiery Nerf
right,
gun things.
I'll come
you
back
know.
And
you
get
don't,
it after I'm done.
You don't need that huge thing.
Yeah, but did you see my spear?
I didn't even know they let those in Walmart. Isn't that considered a weapon?
I got to conceal and carry. Yeah, wah.
Don't you have to actually conceal it? Where are you going to tuck that?
Well, the attendant didn't say anything.
Hmm. You're going to poke somebody's eye out. Can I touch it?
Yeah, of course. Look how cool.
Yeah. What is that for?
This is the spear of prayer.
Oh.
I can pray for people and help stuff and fix them.
So you got to have that thing for prayer?
Well,
You have to have it. You have to carry that thing around with you in the Walmart.
Pastor said, take the whole armor.
Mm-hmm. Well, I prayed today, and I didn't have to have no big, scary, stupid-looking spear.
You think it's stupid-looking?
Well, come on, dude. It's like 2017. Does Kay know you left the house like this?
Well, if I put it down, will you not tell her about the spear?
It's a start. Let me have that thing.
Don't, like, break it. I might need to pray one time someday.
Well, you don't need this spear to pray.
Pastor said put on the whole armor. But
all right.
Do look
you may
cool,
as well
though, right?
keep telling me what on earth is going on here. Easy. We are in public.
Well, I'm not ashamed about being in public, being a Christian, yo.
Well, I'm a Christian.
Oh, I didn't know that. You never really talk about
it. Well, I mean, you know, I was little and they talked about giving your life to Christ and so I did that. I mean, I don't go to church every Sunday or most really, but that doesn't mean that I'm not okay.
Maybe
like
check
me,
out our church.
Me
this is
God,
what you look
okay.
like when you get done.
Pretty sure I'm probably not coming to your church, buddy. No.
Why would?
Well,
don't you want to be cool? Like,
I don't think you really need to dress up like that. I thought maybe you were going to participate in Halloween this year. so proud of you, but
no, that's not Christian. Real Christians don't do Halloween. Check out my shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I got stomp on stuff.
They don't match
this
your belt.
Peace. Peace, yo. Mm. Peace.
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 Well,
check them out.
So you think you got to have those on to have peace?
Well, you know, I mean, like if you watch the news, that don't help.
Well, I just don't watch the news. It's all bad.
We'll see. This is better than watching the news, right?
Well, I don't have those on, and I got peace. Most of the time. Well, some of the time.
Well, I do like your purple socks.
I know, right?
Are they comfy? These things kind of hurt.
These are
in.
Super comfy.
Right here, I got like an itch.
Yeah, and that's going to like probably pull your hair.
Here,
and
let me show you like what.
Get those things off of there.
Look at the mark it made.
Yeah, and you're getting blisters already.
Right. I'll just take them off.
I think taking them off is going to bring some peace, for crying out loud. Get those things. Can you get them
that
off?
Is way
do you need
better.
To help you?
No, I put them on. I mean, I can take them off.
Well, you don't. Yeah.
Okay.
You don't need to put all that stuff on.
Man, that is way better.
Kind of stink a little bit, buddy.
And I do feel peacey. Peace.
Yeah. See?
Peace-ish.
Yeah. It's all right. It's all good.
So check out my belt. It's protecting my
thighs. Whoa. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Belt.
Look, it's got a sword on it.
Watch out. You're going to hurt somebody.
Yeah.
Probably yourself. What's that for?
I practiced for like an hour.
What are you doing with a sword?
Yeah. You hear how cool that is?
Yeah. I think you're making the sound, though.
Well.
Pull it out again. Let me do it. Ting. It's a little different.
Well,
yeah.
When I was practicing, it made a cooler sound.
Hmm. Well, maybe. Yeah, what's
I don't know. It's not feeling it right now.
Yeah. It looks kind of heavy. You should take that off.
I'm telling you, it's hard to get to your wallet.
I bet.
Be all.
I know. How do you even get in there?
Here, just let me show you how it connects back here.
Pee?
It's real easy. You can put it right on and off.
Get off.
Like
there.
Truth is not important. If I just hung it like close.
You want to talk truth? Truth is, I tell Kay about all this, and you're in trouble.
Whoa, let's not get all carried away there. So.
Well, yeah, put that thing down. You don't need that.
Okay, but I'll keep it close right here.
Yeah.
Stay.
Yeah. Like, if you would have got a cart, you could have just put all this in there. I don't know where you'd put your groceries, but what's this?
Breastplate of righteousness.
Mm.
I've rubbed it this morning.
Yeah?
See it shining?
Seems a little self-righteousness to me.
Whoa. I'm not, like, showing off. I just want people to see that have the identity of Jesus Christ.
You come walking in the Walmart with all this on and you're not showing off? I think it's a little show-offy, bud.
Oh, I don't want people to think I'm showing off.
Well, what do you think people are going to think?
They're going to think like, man, check out that guy. He's
yeah,
really
they are.
Righteous.
They're going to think, dude, check out that guy. Yeah.
Well, I don't want people to talk bad about me. I'm trying to represent Jesus.
I think there's probably a different way to go about it than this.
Well, but Pastor was saying, like, it's super important to keep it all buckled up and tight. It does kind of, like, itch, though.
I think he was talking more like, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Metaphorically speaking. Not literally.
Whoa, I spent a lot of money on this.
I bet you did. It's kind of not your most brilliant move today.
Dang, girl.
What are you doing?
You got to be all rough on a
brother.
Did
you check with Kay before you wrote that check?
I don't have to ask Kay everything. Why does everybody think I have to ask Kay everything?
Tell you what.
I'm my own man.
Mm-hmm.
I can do
Dude,
stuff.
Let me get that. Let me get how? Whoa. Got it?
It's hard to put on and take off sometimes.
I bet. I would say just at least leave this off for sure.
And it just, yeah. If I need it, I'm going to come back and get it.
That's
so just,
cool. You can do that.
Just leave it right there.
That's okay.
But I can't. This is salvation. You can't just take that on and off, y'all. Like, I mean, you know, maybe
well, once
if,
saved, always
maybe
saved,
if the enemy
right?
comes, I can block it with my head.
Mm.
I've been doing that a lot lately. I block a lot of stuff with my head.
Uh-huh.
And I get really smart.
I practiced headbutting people the other day.
I think if you're saved, then you're saved. Saved is saved. You don't need to make a big show of it and be all braggy like, hey, look at my super cool hat.
Look at the bristles.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of cool. It looks like a scrub brush, sort of.
Whoa, don't talk about my salvation like that.
Yeah, I think you should just...
I don't know. I put this on...
You got all that in your heart. You know, that's where we keep that all in our heart.
Oh,
we
yeah,
don't
the
have
heart
to,
thing. Have yeah, to Pastor talked about the heart thing.
Put it all over, like, out there for people to, hey, look at me. I'm Steve with all my stuff. Yeah. Let's just set it...
But I'll keep it close in case I need to grab it.
It doesn't mean you're not saved if you take it off. Really? Doesn't. See? Nothing happened. Would I lie to you?
Was there lightning? Did you see lightning?
Nothing. Just macaroni. Yeah,
okay, well, maybe you're right. Maybe Pastor was just being all metaphoric.
I think he was, buddy. I really think he was.
What's metaphoric? What is that?
I think he just took it all a little too serious. I'm going to dent that hat, bud. Here, I'll just... Yeah,
put
just
it down
right
here.
Down there. Right down there. That's good.
I don't want to get it dirty.
Yeah.
I shined it to this morning.
Well, that's cool, you know, and you can, like, keep it in your office at home.
Ooh, and then when people come to my house, I could be all like, hey, look at all my Christian stuff. That way I don't actually be a Christian out in the world.
Well, you know, you don't want to scare people away.
I know. You're right about the shield. That thing was huge.
I bet.
And the spear, I don't even know how they let me in here. Mm-hmm. Must have been, the attendant must have been like.
Yeah.
But
so, hey,
they do that sometimes.
I got a dash, man, but.
I got my Christian t-shirt.
You got your Jesus t-shirt on. See?
Thanks!
See? People
Christian
are going to
t-shirt.
See that.
Got a cross on my t-shirt.
It's great.
Got a fish on my truck.
It's great. See?
And
people know you're a Christian.
And a honk if you love Jesus.
Because you got your faith shirt.
Faith.
You got your Jesus fish on
covered,
your truck. Yeah. You're
covered.
Good.
For nothing can penetrate the heart
right.
of my pieces
yeah,
of
you got
armor.
It. You still got it
you
all.
You are so right. I don't have to actually put this on.
Yeah.
Put this on and carry that big old flopping thing. And I can pray anytime. Sometimes I just pray quietly in my head.
There you go. That's
where
I
like
do it at
work. Throwing a spear.
Mostly.
I think I'm good. Man, I'm so glad I ran into you, non-Christian friend.
Hey.
Thanks for coming by.
And let me know.
You're so friendly.
Start feeling, you know, this. Crazy, come on again. Let me know. I'll help you out.
I do feel good. I could probably shop for days.
There you go. All
at
right.
At the Walmart.
Go,
whoop,
right?
Whoop. I'm
See
all,
you later.
I'm still saved. Still good. Just feel a little naked. But I'm still saved. Man, I am so glad that I am covered with the internal... weight. Just, can you come back late? No. It's not, no. Just come back later and I'll be prepared, Mr. Devil. It doesn't need to happen this way. We don't have to go through all this. I'm protected on.
Seen him in a while either.
I heard he was kind of.
Yeah.
I heard that as well.
That looks like Steve. He looks dead.
Is he? Hey, he's got no pulse.
Looks like he took his armor off.
What happened?
We need to raise him from the dead.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, let's get him up.
Steve, we speak life to you.
Yes. Yes.
Get up. Raise up from the dead. We speak life to you.
Come on. You can do it.
Right.
Ah! Come back to life.
What? We're at Walmart.
Steve.
What happened?
You jumped.
My grace group. What would I do without you guys? I was just... I did what the pastor said. I took...
What a disaster.
Up, shined it all up. I was shopping.
What happened?
Then stupid devil snuck up on me after Cindy. Talked me out of... She said it's not important to put it on all the time. I didn't have anybody watching my back and helping protect me. And Cindy just, she talked me out of it. But she just beat me up. But you got to raise me from the dead. How cool is that? You just came in and like, wow, get back to life. Woo! This is the best group ever! Man, what would I do without my sister pals, my grace group, my small group that protects me and takes care of me? What would I do without these guys?
You'd be dead.
Yeah, you'd be dead.
You'd still be dead.
I'd be dead.
Hey,
you guys need a grace group.
Yeah, I think you should probably put your stuff back out.
All right. Yeah. Maybe we've got a video while I get dressed.
Okay. I'll help you put your piece
back
on.
Thanks,
you need to put your piece back on.
Woo-wee! What would I do without my grace group? People that, hey, baby, so glad you're here. Did you see how the cows from Grace Group took care of me? Oh. Yeah. I didn't know I could even take that off.
Yeah, maybe you should help.
Can you?
Yeah.
You know, he who finds a wife.
What happens when someone finds a wife? Finds
a good thing.
Let's say that again. Because you know, beloved, your salvation is a gift. God will never take this away from you. It's yours to keep always. Don't be ashamed of it. We're proud. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right, look. Can I say that for a minute?
Okay, so I did all of this so that we, as Beloved Church, we've been praying about ways to really impact your life and your heart. And so we're going to go into change Beloved Church into a grace group model. And what that means is on Wednesdays, what we've been doing discipleship class and youth group and all that. We're going to start doing grace groups. So in Lena on Saturday night, Pastor Dennis and Miss Maddie are going to be hosting a grace group in their home. On Wednesday night, for all of you Pearl City folk, Kay and I are going to be hosting a grace group in our home. On Wednesday night, Pastor Ryan and Miss Jessica are going to be hosting one in Orangeville and then soon to be McConnell. And all of these are going to be, those of you that were part of Beloved Church before the unification, you remember some of the things that happened in our living room. There's something about being together, about being armored up together, about sitting in the living room, eating chips, drinking soda and water, about drinking Coke and water together. And we're going to, we've also connected with another church in Freeport, Crossroads, and they have, everybody knows John Eastlick, he's been here. He's got the Dream Center. And the Dream Center has been gracious enough to let us host a grace group at the Dream Center, so we're actually going to have one in Freeport as well, where Paul and Fran are going to be running that. So all of you Freeport people, this is going to be really easy for people to get connected, to get to the place to get connected, to also have that fellowship, that intimacy, for people to be able to raise you from the dead when you're dead, to put your helmet back on, to put your breastplate, your righteousness, your identity back on. This is going to be a great opportunity for everybody to connect in a really powerful way. Sunday mornings, we're still going to be here. We're still going to be doing this together as a family, right here, worshiping, praising, jumping around, having a great time. But from now on, Wednesday night, 6:30, Saturday night, 6:30, we're going to be in those different locations, and we're going to be grouping. We're going to be a bunch of groupies. Amen. So each of them are going to let you know their heart for ministry, why they want to be a part of you. Real quick.
Well, at the Freeport Dream Center, we'll be meeting on Wednesday nights. And it's in the area of Freeport called Piety Hill, which is quite a faith confession in itself. But it's a nice place. It's warm, and we have comfy chairs and sofas. And it is a mission, though. And so there may be aspects, you know, opportunities for ministry and maybe outreach at some point. And then you also get an introduction probably to what goes on in general at the Dream Center. So that'll be sort of the character that the group takes on.
All right. We are hosting in our home Orangeville and McConnell and kind of the surrounding there. And we are very excited. I love coming together as the corporate body and worshiping, learning together. But for me, it's about doing life together. And this gives us an opportunity to actually live together and not just come together on a Sunday morning, but actually get into each other's lives and hold each other accountable and learn things together. You know, I'm really excited for it. We're gonna worship. We're going to laugh. We're going to cry. We're going to grow together. And I am excited for that. We are going to actually not just come together and not see each other, you know, but actually be in each other's lives as the week goes on and hold each other accountable in a more deeper and intimate way in the smaller group. So I'm really excited to be a part of it and to have it in our home. Wednesday, 6:30. In the Orangeville location for a little bit.
If you like costumes or if you don't, we can dress up or we don't have to. Come to our group in Lena on Saturdays. I'll let him share.
Just wanted to throw that in.
Well, we're really excited about hosting the Lena group in our home on Saturday nights at 6:30. Don't have to be from Lena. Might stretch out to Stockton or Galena. But we're really excited about what God's going to do. Even before we knew we were going to do this, I received a word about it at the ministers' conference in Colorado in October. That was before any of us really had thought about doing these. So I know that God envisioned this. He's created these groups. And we really think that there's going to be some great discipleship, some great character building, and a lot of intimacy amongst the believers as a result of this. So we're really looking forward to this, and I know that all the groups are going to be good, but ours is going to be really good.
And then Kay and I, most of you know where we live in Pearl City, so we're going to get all our PC peeps back together. Those of you that were there, there was something that we used to take place in that room that was just special. And it's going to take place in all of these groups' places. We want you to connect by location. Please, don't try to pick favorites. Connect by location so that it's easy for you to get there. Obviously, I wouldn't have any of these folks leading these groups if I didn't trust them, didn't trust their heart, didn't trust their ability to speak into your lives. This is not about splitting a church or anything like that. This is about giving us a greater level of connection and opportunity and even accountability for some of us that might lack that. We might need someone to come behind us and say, dude, your armor's falling off. Hey, you need to be raised from the dead. And obviously, Kay and I have a real heart for this. Also, on Wednesdays here at the church, so the church is still going to be active. We're just going to have our very own youth group, which is the Youth Grace Group, known as Thrive. They're going to take over the facility and leave it standing. That's a great place for an amen, youth. And they're gonna have lots of opportunities to connect in here. Some of you that don't know, on Wednesday night when they have youth groups, sometimes they only get like 30 minutes, 20 minutes, because by the time they get here, get loose, get out, get back, it's only like 20 minutes. That's not really enough time to be a youth group and to grow together and do life together. So they're gonna be able to have the whole building as long as they want. They can be as long as they want. We're gonna make sure people get rides in case they need to. But we want you to connect. This isn't for just a few of you. This is for everybody in this building. We want you to connect to a group.
so that you can start doing life together with people that are going to watch your back. They're going to make sure that you're covered and you're protected. Amen? All right, well, stand up. Let me bless you, please.